It's 9:32. Welcome back to CIUT 89.5 FM. It is Friday, and we are doing the first installment of our regular Friday feature, The Passionate Plague Glower, a passionate pay... Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to try that one more time. This is we'll just edit this out when we put this out live. The Passionate Plague Goer, Lynn Slotkin. We might have to change that title, Lynn, because it's killing me.
No.
Lynn Slotkin is here with us this morning. Her segment, The Passionate Plague Goer. You have a website as well, the Slotkin Letter, where you regularly cover the theater.
Yes.
And as I said in our introduction, the theater scene in this city is booming right now, but you're not seeing a lot of coverage in the media.
No.
And you are going to fix that.
Well, we hope to fix that. As I was telling you before, there's a lot of good news and there's some bad news. And the good news is that I'm finding that this city is absolutely bursting with all sorts of theater activity. And I'm not just talking about Luminato, which I will talk about shortly. I can't recall another time when we've had more new theater companies popping up just to do a play, or theater festivals that are popping up not only in the summer but also in the winter. And in some cases, there are existing theater companies which are expanding their programming. So it's great for theater, and it's great for audiences, and that's the good news.
I suppose it's always the bad news.
The bad news, as you said, is the bad news is that the media coverage for all of this theater activity and for a lot of arts is diminishing. For instance, newspapers are cutting down on its coverage. Smaller theaters aren't even on their radar in a lot of cases, which is a shame because there are a lot of small theater companies doing fantastic work. I know of one newspaper that stopped covering theater for young people, for young audiences. You know, these kids, these young people, are the future audiences. They're also the future newspaper readers. So, and the same thing can be said for TV and radio. Reviews in some cases are scrapped and almost nothing replaces them, and that's a worry. So with all of the stuff to choose from for the public, where do they go to for a reasoned, balanced assessment of where you can spend your money? So that's why we're here. We hope to address that lapse. You know, I've done theater reviews, as you know, for 10 years at another radio station that they'll be nameless. So I'm really glad for CIUT that I can express my opinion about theater because I'm, as you say, passionate about it. So I'll be doing commentary. I'll be telling you what's coming up. And I hope possibly even interviews as well. You know, I've learned so much about the theater that it's quite astonishing what I've learned. So,
well, you know what? Don't hold back.
Yeah.
Tell
okay.
us what's
okay.
going on? What
okay.
did you learn?
Theater is a mirror held up to tell us who we are, where we came from, where we're going, how good or bad we are, how much we can improve or not. I've learned about art, music, literature, psychology, the proper way to wash a kitchen floor on my hands and knees, all from going to the theater and seeing a play. Theater makes us look harder and see. It makes us hear as well as listen. It makes us ask questions. You know, does the action fit the word? Thank you, Hamlet. He said that. Does the play make sense in the context of the words? This also goes for musicals. I don't want to forget musicals. I grew up in musicals. I'm grateful for musicals. In short, theater is a necessity for a full life, along with water and chocolate. So,
can I add coffee to that?
As long as it's a certain brand, which we can't mention. Coffee. Coffee is a necessity of life. Exactly. Yeah.
Now you saw a number of plays.
Yes, I did, for Luminato.
Andromaque.
Yeah.
Part two of 1001 Nights, as well as Tu Kamel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to get into those in a few minutes, but we have another regular feature that we do here as well on Fridays, and that's looking at the theater, the other theater where the movies play, up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Garber is going to be covering that for us every Friday. Here is his first installment, and when we come back, we're going to get Lynn's views on Andromaque, part two of 1001 Nights and Tu Kamel. And we're back with Lynn Slotkin. She is the passionate playgoer. I got it that time. And we were just about to talk about Luminato. What's going on with Luminato that is happening right now?
Luminato is a 10-day festival from June 10th to June 19th, and it shines a light on Toronto, the arts and cultural scene, hence Luminato. So not only are there many Canadian companies that are being showcased, there are also companies coming from around the world. The festival covers 10 areas that are theater, art, film, magic, literature, dance, food, celebrations, fashion, and music. There are also lots of free events, but for our purposes, my purpose, I will focus on the theater.
So what have you seen so far?
Okay, as you said before, I've seen Andromaque, I've seen part two of 1001 Nights, I've seen Tout Comme Elle, which is translated as Just Like Her, and tonight I see Lu Xun.
Tell us a bit about each of them. Let's start with Andromaque.
Okay. It's based on the Greek story of Andromache. It's dramatized by the French playwright in the 17th century, French playwright Jean Racine, hence the French pronunciation of Andromaque. It's adapted by a Canadian poet and writer named Evie Christie. It's performed by Necessary Angel, the edgy Canadian theater company, and it's directed by a Scotsman named Graham McLaren. So you talk about an international effort. It's fantastic, but it's still Greek to me. But never mind. It's okay. It's a war story. The original was based on the Greek story that took place after the Trojan War. For our purposes, this has been adapted to any contemporary war. So this could be Afghanistan, it could be Bosnia, it could be anywhere. It's up to the audience to fill it in. It doesn't matter. The conquering hero is Pyrrhus. He's besotted with lust and love with his captive Andromache and wants to marry her. So he's made her a kind of a proposition. He says she either complies with the proposition of marriage or he'll kill her son. Not a nice man, okay? Pyrrhus was also betrothed to Hermione, one of his country people, and there was lots of passion between them. So when Hermione realizes that she's been thrown over for another person, in this case even the enemy, her need for revenge goes into overdrive. The play is about lust, power, besotted love, and passion run amok.
So does all of that lust and passion, does it translate into the production?
Oh, it does. It does really big time. The production just throbs with anger, emotion, and noise. When you walk into the theater, it's pulsing with rock music, the noise of war. There are sound effects of guns. We hear helicopters overhead. There's even an angry dog barking. The playing space is in the middle of the room with the audience on all sides. And as we go in, men in full combat gear patrol the area, and stare out looking at us menacingly. And even before this play starts, there's a guy in full combat gear with a machine gun who's looking at somebody and says, "Turn that bleeping cell phone off!" I can't say that word, can I? No, I can't say the word that
bleeping is fine.
Bleeping is fine. Okay, while the other, you know, there are some men who are trying to chill by watching videos, which could be war videos in any case. Director Graham McLaren has put us right in the middle of this raging, noising world of these soldiers. So, of course, their emotions are heightened, and I think so are ours. And besides lust, the play recreates the terrifying world of war. These men are led by the dangerous Pyrrhus, and he's played by Christopher Morris, and Mr. Morris is electrifying. He's a cold-eyed leader. He's clear-thinking. He's focused until he has to deal with his boiling emotions for Andromache. He spills his guts to her regarding his obsession. He wants her to accept him as a husband, you know? But then, of course, there's that... The dialogue is pretty clear that he's actually raped her before this. So he sickens her, but, of course, she has to save her son. So you love that dilemma, you know, the dilemma. Emma is clear and it's edgy in this production. As Hermione, Christine Horne matches Christopher Morris's passion for passion and cold-bloodedness for cold-bloodedness. Hermione is the wronged woman and Horne plays her for all that vengeance. She's coy, she's seductive, she's crazed, and when she's wronged, she's terrifying. And as wonderful as McLaren has directed this, kudos also have to go to poet Evie Christie for her vibrant adaptation. The language is raw, it's muscular, and it's even heightened poetry at times. The imagery is vivid, and it just captures that contemporary world. It's wonderful.
And film actress Arseny Kanjin, mm-hmm. Adam McGoyan's wife. She's in this.
That's right. She is in this. She, as you say, she's generally known for her film work, usually with her husband, director yeah. Adam McGoyan, and she's done theater as well. Here she plays Andromache. She has that stooped but proud aspect to her, and there's some pretty physical acting with her and Christopher Morris. Actually, violent physical acting. There's lots of danger there. But I find her a bit tentative and not as fluid as Morris and Horn in her delivery. It's interesting work, but a bit pale next to the fireworks of the other two. However, on the whole, this is a stunning production. It's war and lust and passion, and it's in your face.
We'll take a quick breath, but not too long a breath. Tell me a little bit about 1001 Nights.
Okay, do you want to do it now, or you want to?
Yeah, no. Well, we'll
okay. These are not the fairy tales, actually. It's sometimes been known as the Arabian Nights, but the program tells us it's not fairy tales. The program tells us it's not for children. These are for adults. And to refresh our memories, let me tell you. These stories are from the ancient Arab world. A king learns that his wife is involved in an orgy with her slaves. This is not a good thing, I don't think, in a marriage.
I can see why it's
not
a good for
thing.
Children.
So the king has her killed. A bit excessive, but he has her killed.
We all know what kings are like.
Yes, I know. I mean,
impetuous, at worst.
Silly people. King has her killed, and he vows never to trust another woman. However, he seems to like the institution of marriage, this man. So he decides to marry a virgin, have the wedding night, and then in the morning he's going to kill her so she can't betray him. Thanks a lot, husband dear. Okay,
the next... Well, a well-thought-out plan.
Yes, no. Then the next day, he will do exactly the same thing, and again, with another virgin. You have to hope that there is an endless supply of these ladies. So a woman named Scheherazade decides to put a stop to this mayhem by offering herself to the king. Comes the wedding night, she tells him a fascinating story about love and betrayal, okay? The king wants to hear more stories, and she says she'll tell him another one the next night. So she does. He's still intrigued. And another story follows, and another night, until 1001 nights later, the king is still interested, and Scheherazade is still alive and telling her stories.
Now, these stories, though, does it cover 1001 stories in this production?
Fortunately, no. So,
it could be a bit long.
Yeah. Director Tim Supple and his adapter of the stories, Hanan al-Sheikh, present 20 stories in two parts. You can see both parts in one day or over two nights, and each part is distinct. You can see them each as standalone and not be disadvantaged if you haven't seen the other part. I must say that the information from Luminato was a little bit unclear, and I thought the show was only in one part. See, so I just ordered a ticket, not realizing that I had a ticket for part two. So part two, I got a sense of the whole event just by seeing this one part. Initially, the actress playing Scheherazade told one story, but many actors took turns telling and reenacting the stories as the evening went on. I found it fascinating that the stories involved women who were perceived as betraying their husbands and getting horribly punished. So the king would have loved that. That's probably why he was keeping her alive all these. You know, I want to see all these women get their due because, you know, he doesn't trust women. Never mind that the husbands were bullies, crazed, and stupid. One husband wooed his besotted wife by making her promise never to look or speak at another man. Well, you know, we know how it's going to end. It's not going to end prettily, okay? The women tend to be trusting, honest, and totally in love with their men. One woman fell in love with a blackbird who morphed into a really tall fella with a really chiseled body. I mean, who can resist that? While the women love their husbands completely, their husbands' jealousy knew no bounds, and they never gave their wives the benefit of the doubt. You know, by asking, what was your side of the story, dear? They don't want to know. They just want to give them punishment, okay? So when the king is listening to this, and naturally he loves this. We in contemporary times will be writhing and gritting our teeth at the misogyny. But I have to say that while the stories were interesting, it all wore a bit thin after a while, I must say.
We are running a bit short on time. Okay. Is there anything else you want to say about this before we jump in to Kamel?
I would say that with these stories, there are too many of them. It would have been better if there were just eight over one night, and then we get the sense of the evening. Just one night, eight stories, that would have been fine.
Okay. So you saw two Kamel, which is just like her in translation.
Yes.
So what did you think? What is this project?
It's a huge project about mother and daughter relations involving 50 actresses of varying ages and ethnicity. It's written by Louise Dupre. It's staged with great style by Bridget Henken. And the production covers those prickly areas of mother-daughter relationships, such as trying to measure up to your mother's expectations, or a daughter being impatient for an elderly mother's limitations but trying to hide it, or to do what you think trying to cope with being compared with your mother, and when people say you're just like her, is that a compliment? Do you get impatient with that? Watching the show, might give us a sense of déjà vu for all of these women, whether you're a woman, whether you're a mother or a daughter. I must say that perhaps the writer Louise Dupre is showing her bias, because much of the writing and situations seem to lean towards the negative with these relationships. I would have thought that a more balanced view would have been a better presentation of the situation.
Very quickly, how do you get 50 women on stage and keep it all corralled?
Very carefully. You do it very carefully. And you have a gifted director such as Bridget Henken, who she staged these actresses with great precision. Very often they're running in various formations. Then there's fluidity to all of it. In the beginning, we see 50 pair of shoes on the stage, and the women slowly walk to their pair of shoes. They wear vintage clothing of varying degrees. They primp, they pose, they smile, they do those small things that women do when they are observing themselves. They express their feelings very interestingly. The most moving part is when the actual actress gives her name and her mother's name as well. I thought that was so moving. It's bold, it's proud.
She just looked like you wiped a tear away from your eye there.
It's leaking. What can I do? It's acting here. Come on, give me a break. We're doing theater. This production is bold. It's clear to have 50 names, and then you talk about your mother. It's wonderful. At times, I think the pace is maybe a bit too slow, and that the writer is veering towards the negative in the mother-daughter relationship, and that tends to bog it down. But to see these 50 women, these wonderful actresses, a mix of leading and emerging actresses, is quite impressive. It's the quite a kind of production that you would look forward to seeing at Luminato and not necessarily anywhere else.
That was Lynn Slotkin, the passionate playgoer. She will be here every Friday reviewing a theater in the city and in and around town, the GTA. Thank you very much, Lynn.
My pleasure. You
next Friday.
I look forward.
We've also had thank you to Daniel Garber for his movie reviews. Just a quick wrap-up. Andromach plays the Theater Center, 1067 Queen Street West, until the 19th of June. 1001 Nights is at the Canadian Opera Company. That's the Joey and Toby Tannenbaum Opera Center, 227 Front Street East, till the 19th. Two Kamel, that plays at the Blue Mapel Theater, St. Lawrence Center, 27 Front Street. That goes until the 18th. And yes, thank you again, Lynn. So check those out. Lots going on this weekend if you want to get out and check out Illuminato.